1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's God's number. We want 7. Amen. Okay. Oh, wait. Where's Mr. Hector? Well, we're going to have to wait. You know, last Sunday I forgot to make our declaration with our Bibles, and he let me know because he had a new Bible, whatever. So I'm gonna have to wait for him. Okay, y'all don't mind. Y'all don't mind. Okay, we'll wait for him because I want him to get the full pleasure of the new Bible with saying it. Okay, amen. When he walks in, say, "Hey, Mr. Hector, how you doing?" His wife's probably watching, saying, "Where is he?" She wasn't feeling well. That's why she's not here. So, hello, Mr. Hector. Miss Eunice, he's okay. Okay, we just invite. Amen. We do want to invite everybody with YouTube and Facebook and everybody that's watching today. And we pray the Spirit of the Lord would be upon your heart and upon your life. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Now, Joey, yeah, okay. We want to pull it up so that everybody knows. Say, "This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." I tell you what, guys, that word is powerful. It's powerful, people. Powerful. That's why God, you know, every time in Scripture where Jesus was tempted by the enemy, he always used the word. Always. Now the enemy tried to twist that word, you know, but you look in the Scripture where you know, he tempted him to bow down before him, the King of Kings, to bow down before that. Or, "And I would give you the whole kingdoms of the world." Well, it's already his. The whole earth and everything in it is God's. And all the solar system, everything is his. But it says that he used the Scripture to come against the enemy. And when the enemy twisted the Scripture, he came back with another Scripture. You see, Jesus is the Word. We need to know that Word. We need to get it in our hearts and get it in our lives, people, because it brings life, 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 life to that spirit man on the inside of us, where God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The triune God that's in us. Get that word in your heart. You might say, "Well, how do I do it?" Read. Number two, put it in your vehicle. I want to say cassettes, but that's no more. If you got 8-track cassettes, whatever you want to do, you got to do, use it. But now, even in your vehicles, you can have it, the word. Get it in your heart and in your life. And let me tell you, it'll change you, change us. And what it does is it changes us into the image of our God. It's like we're made in the image of our God, you know, but yet the spirit man on the inside becomes the image of our God. And so we're changed from the inside out by the word of God, letting God move within us. Letting God move within us. Today I want to talk about Elijah the prophet. Oh my Lord. You know, Elijah, and in talking about Elijah, J-A-H, okay, E-L-I-J-H, because there's Elisha and Elijah. Elijah. Talking about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. You know, sometimes we think, you know, we pray about certain things and maybe we don't see the results of it right away. You know, sometimes we pray about maybe family and friends or situations that we're going through, you know, and maybe we don't see it right away. Now, sometimes we do, though. Okay, sometimes we pray about certain situations and the power of God moves upon that situation and changes it and moves upon it. You see, all we are oracles to pray. He is the prayer answer. You understand that? We are not the prayer answer. And our fellow Christians brothers and sisters, are not the prayer answers. Sometimes we want them to be. That's why we share so much about what we're praying about sometimes, so that that person can maybe answer that prayer. But we need to realize we shouldn't do that. That we go to our God and we let God handle it somehow, some way, however He wants to do it. That He is the prayer changer. He is the prayer God. He is the God that can change things upon the earth for His people. That's the kind of God that we serve. That as we bow before Him, and we can pray loud, we can pray soft, we can pray however we want. But I tell you what, God will answer when He sees a heart after Him. Yes, Hannah had a heart after God. She got up from that praying when the prophet thought that she was drunk. Can you imagine? The prophet thought they were supposed to be godly people and didn't know when the Spirit of God came upon somebody or when they were actually drunk with wine. What a shame. The church is almost the same, people. We don't know if it's true Spirit of God or not. But I tell you what, the pastors need to know by the Spirit of God. They need to be in line and in tune with what God is doing. And let me tell you, God will move upon those situations. And here we see God promised what she wanted, a child. And she promised to give back that child to God. That's where we get dedication from, basically, children, when they're few months old. Dedication unto the Lord. And God gave back, you know, what she had given to the Lord. See, God answers prayer, people. God answers prayer. Don't ever let the devil convince you that what you're praying about, God will never answer. He might answer no. Or He might answer not right now. Or He might answer wait a while. Because you see, our God knows what is best. Our God knows what is best. But you know, sometimes we think we know what's best. And we should never allow us to think that we know what's best. God knows what's best. God knows where you need to be. God knows what church you need to be in. God knows where we need to be with our jobs. God knows where we need to be, where we need to live. God knows, because He knows what's the best thing for us. And He is one that wants to take care of us and take care of all the things in our hearts and lives as we pray and honor our God. Elijah means God is Jehovah. Elijah was a prophet, one who utters divinely inspired revelations. Elijah was foretelling and forthtelling. Okay? Elijah was foretelling and forthtelling. Wow. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of who? The church. The saints of God. Amen. The church, the body of Christ. God has put all these men and women who are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to be in the church itself, in the body of Christ. I've often said, Lord, where are the apostles? I'll be honest with you. I've often said, Lord, where are the prophets? True prophets, Lord. Therefore, the perfecting of the church. We need it in the church, Lord. Where are they? Raise them up, Lord God. Raise them up in the body of Christ. You might say, well, can apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers come out of any church? Basically, we might have some sitting here. See, we don't realize the gift and the talents and the abilities of what God gives when we got saved. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, He chooses who He wants to choose to be a pastor. He chooses that. He chooses who to be a helper. He chooses who to be a prayer warrior. He chooses to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastors, and teachers. And a lot of times, you know, you can be more than just one, you know. But God chooses, and God will make these people rise up, men and women, for the perfecting of the church. So the church can be perfect in him. It keeps order in the things of God, in the church, in the body of Christ. But here we see Elijah. God raised this man up. We're going to read some scriptures in 2 Kings where miracles, people. Miracles by God. Miracles by God. You know, one time it says that the prophet Elijah went to the king Ahab, and we're going to get to that. And God told him to tell the king, Israel, there would be no rain for 3.5 years. Now, if I walked up to you this morning and came behind this pulpit and said, I want to let you know for the next 3.5 years there will be no rain in this area, you'd probably, okay. You'd kind of look and say, well, I believe, but you know, don't you think that was a little scary for him? Don't you think, you know, even though he knew God had spoken it to him, that he went up to the king to let him know that because of certain things, and we're going to read the scriptures, why this was happening to the children of Israel. You know, sometimes we shouldn't balk at some things that may happen to us that's not that good sometimes. Because out of that not goodness stuff, God is trying to prepare us for the best. For the best. Sometimes, you know, we may not realize that some things aren't good as we're praying and seeking the Lord. But sometimes God will let sometimes bad things, if you want to say it that way, to come in so that we have the best of God. Because you see, God is looking to bless you beyond measure, you and I. God is looking to put things in our hearts and lives that will help the kingdom of God grow in this last days. God is looking for a people that will humble themselves and seek God's face so that the power of God can move at will within the body of Christ. You see, the people out there are looking for a difference in the church. A difference. Because we know the difference. And the difference is our God. But I want you to look, if you would, in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Look at page 2151. Look at verse 17 and 18. It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, you have to understand this, and we're going to get to 2 Kings in a little bit. Elijah prayed that it would not rain, but he could only do that because God told him to. We cannot go around today and say, okay, you know, unless God would speak, we got to speak what God says. But when God speaks, we need to know that it will happen no matter what. No matter what's going on in life, when God speaks, it shall happen. Doesn't matter how we feel, doesn't matter how the church feels, doesn't matter how the body of Christ feels, but I tell you what, when God speaks, we listen. We listen to the things of God as we pray and seek the face of God. Elijah the prophet, God had called him to be a prophet that would foretell of things to come that will happen. But he could only tell the things that God would tell him to tell. He could not add to it. He could not take away from it. He had to speak totally what God said. And when God spoke to tell, now, This is an amazing thing. It was to God's people. But look at this. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at this. Look at verse 17 and 18. Elijah. And it says this, verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Are you he who troubles Israel?" Let's stop right there. This guy didn't look to God. That means, number one, Ahab was not a good king for the most part. That he didn't trust the Lord. But he looked at Elijah as the one that had brought the trouble of 3.5 years of no rain. Now, that's a long time. 3.5 years of no rain, we go a few months and we start to see the ground cracking. I mean, it's like, you know, we're cutting grass a little bit. We're cutting dust almost. You know, can you imagine 3.5 years of no rain? You know, can you imagine the rivers and the creeks and all that were low on water? Water is an issue of life. Water represents the Spirit of God. That means they were lacking physically with the water, but they were also lacking spiritual declension in their lives because they were not following what God wanted them to do. And because we don't follow what God speaks and says, things will come our way that will not help us. Look at this, verse 18. And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Balaam." Now look at this. Elijah turns it around and says, "Let me tell you something, King. It's not my fault, but it's your fault." And hey, being the king, it was his fault. Because they had followed another God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the King of Kings who opened the Red Sea for them? The King of Kings that let them walk on dry ground. The King of Kings that gave them water out of a rock. That gave them food from heaven. The quail and the heavenly food of the bread that would come every day for them. What a God they served. And for them to turn their hearts from God, to turn their lives from God. Don't ever let anything in your heart or in your life turn you away from serving your God. Yeah. Troubled times may come. I'm not talking about the world itself. Yeah, there's going to be whatever. There's going to be stuff. There's going to be earthquakes and things to the rapture of the church. But don't let trouble come. Don't turn from God when trouble comes your way. Don't turn from God when maybe something happens to your children and you're boo-hooing before God and crying. Hey, look, those children need you to pray for them. Your spouse needs you to pray for them. Your church needs you to pray for them. Your pastor needs you to pray for us. But even though troubled times come, we look to our God. We look to our Savior. We look to Him that can bring an answer. And look, Elijah looked to that king and said, "Buddy, it's your fault. It's you and your people, the children of Israel, that have left the commands of God." And anytime we move away from the Word of God, there is a calamity that will happen. Anytime we move away from forgiveness of people, how God says we're to forgive, anytime we move away from that, we move away from the commandment of God. Anytime we move away from how God says to give, we move away from the commandment of God. We need to take this word seriously. Because it's this word that gives us life. It's this word that feeds the heart and soul of a man. and a woman. It's that word that helps and soothes the soul of man, because we need our God. We need our Lord. We need our Savior. We need to follow the commands of our God. God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves as you see the day approaching, the rapture of the church. How many Christians, I'm telling you right now, they're home watching instead of being in church? Not good. Thank God for technology, and we like it to go forth, whatever. But let me tell you something. You can't get what you need watching. And look, there's certain circumstances. Hey, look, look, things happen sometimes. You're in a hospital bed, you sure can't be here. Please don't be here. We need a nurse, we need a doctor. Aisle 2, chair 4. Get them on. You know, work, things like that. But don't just stay home just to stay home because you don't feel like getting out of bed. Or you don't feel like getting dressed. Get to church. Get to church. And people don't like when I say it, some, because they're guilty. Get to church. Get to church so you can rub shoulders with somebody. And maybe you could be a blessing to them. Or they could be a blessing to you. You know? Through airwaves, there's no communication, basically. You know what I'm saying? But when you come and you sit, there's communication. There's a response to things. God, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit can still work no matter what. I will never limit what God wants to do. Never. That's not my job. My job is to preach the gospel, to tell you the truth, and for me to live the truth and do what is right. We have to come together as a body of believers to see what God can do, and let God be God. Let God be God in your heart and in your life, and let God move. Can you imagine? You come to church and you walk in and you sense the Spirit of God, and you walk in and you go and you sit, and somebody comes sit next to you and says, hey, how you been? You can't get that at home. Or your pastor comes and shakes your hand. Or your pastor gives you a Bible. Or whatever, you know. You see, we need that touch. That's what this COVID-19 has destroyed. In the body of Christ. Because the preachers let it happen. Yes, there is COVID-19. Yes, but it's going too far in hurting the body of Christ. Get back to church. Get back to church. And get where God wants you to be. And let God move. I mean, look, you have people in nursing homes that are starving for a touch. That are starving for just an eye contact with somebody. That are starving just for somebody to sit there with them and say, look, we appreciate you and love you. You know? God never meant for human beings to be isolated. No isolation. No isolation. But he did say, come out from among them and be ye separate. But we're not isolated like John was on the island. That was isolation. Oh, my Lord. But look what God, well, look what he got. The book of Revelation. My Lord. You see, I'm sure John didn't think when he when he didn't follow the direction of the Pharisees and they condemned him to that island of Patmos. I'm sure he didn't think when he got there what God would do. sometimes we may get on an island by ourselves, and it's not our fault, but because of certain circumstances, like John maybe a little bit. But when John got there, it says the Spirit of God started to move upon him, move upon him, move upon him. And if it wasn't for him and what God had done, we wouldn't have that book of Revelation to know the future and what would happen. You might say, well, God could have used someone else. Yes, he could have. But he chose John. And he needed him to be by himself so he can get the correct view of what was going to happen. My Lord, my Lord. Sometimes things happen, but still God is the God that answers prayer. And it says that they didn't follow the commands. That's why they were without water. Because they didn't follow the commands of God. People, let me tell you, God will bless his people beyond measure. But when we know the truth of something, we need to allow God to do that in us. We need to follow the truth that he gives us. All of a sudden it says, and we're going to read it. And look at, in 18, look at verse 41. God brought back the water. It says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get you up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servants, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare your chariots and get you down that the rain stop you not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black and clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elisha, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Here we see what God can do. God answers prayer, people. God answers prayer. You've been praying about things, God will answer the prayer when it's in his due time. He said, go look and see, the rain is coming. God spoke to him. The rain of the Spirit of God of the last days is coming. It's coming. We're about to be flooded by the Spirit of God. We're about to be flooded by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. It says, he told his servant, go look. And his servant went look, and he said, I don't see a thing. Look at him. And hey, you tell the truth. Went back to the prophet. He said, oh, prophet, let me tell you something. I hate to break this to you, but I have bad news. There is no rain, no clouds. He said, go look again. So he ran up there, looked again, no cloud, no rain, 0, 0, 0, came back. The forecast, 0 rain. You know how they give 14-day casts? Okay. 10 days, 14 days, 7 days. He looked, no rain. Kept going up there 7 times. 7 is God's number, people. When you put your faith and trust in God, all things are possible. When you put your faith and trust in God, all things are possible when God speaks. When God speaks. When God speaks. And let me tell you, he ran up there the 7th time, that servant, and all of a sudden he said, I see a cloud as big as a man's hand. That's not big. Huh? I mean, you might get 1 or 2 drops. I mean, but it doesn't matter what man sees. What matters is what man believes. Ooh. Because in the hand of God, a cloud as big as a fist is a big cloud. It may not look big, and I know sometimes things may not look good in our circumstances, but I tell you, when we put circumstances and problems and things into the hand of God, he makes it possible as we listen to the voice of our God. And all of a sudden, it says it became black. You know how we've had during the summer, you know, you have these black clouds that just come on in, and you're going, oh, my God. Man, the wind starts to blow. It feels so good. It's like, oh, man. Then all of a sudden, you see the rain's coming most of the time. And you run into the house. Get in there. Before we get wet. And all of a sudden, it's like a deluge that just pours down from heaven above. That's what it was. And let me tell you, the King Ahab, he knew that God was king. He knew that God was king. He knew that God was king. And look, and Elijah looked at him and said, let me tell you, from this day forward, you better stop serving Balaam. And he said, by the way, get me all of those prophets. Look at the chapter before. Get me all 450 of those Balaam prophets. Elijah wasn't messing around, people. Now, Elijah standing before the 450 prophets, he's no match to them. But when God says, Elijah called those 450 prophets of Baal, with God and with you and God, you are a majority against whoever on the other side. You see, in this world, we fight against principalities and powers and demon spirits in high places. But let me tell you something. With God on your side, those things have to fall off of your families. Those things have to fall off of your life. Those things have to fall off of our town, our cities. That's the kind of God we serve, because when we come against them in Jesus' name, Jesus takes that blood and devours and destroys those things by the power and the anointing and the presence of Almighty God. That's God. And he took those 450 prophets and he said, build an altar to Baal. We're going to see whose God is God. Amen. And man, you can read it in the scriptures, chapter 18. Go and read it today. They got their wood and they did all their stuff, and they started cutting themselves because they kept calling. 12 o'clock came, 9 o'clock came, no answer. 12 o'clock came, no answer. 3 o'clock came, no answer still. They're dancing on the altar. Ooh. Doesn't that happen in churches today? All kind of dancing stuff that's not godly. It's bad, people. And here Elijah starts to say, well, where's your God? Is your God asleep? And I'm about to close. I know you're getting hungry just like me. But we need to know God answers prayer, people. I want you leaving today to know by faith that God answers prayer. And don't let the enemy destroy your faith in God. Let God raise up your spirit. Pray more than ever before. Get up an hour more before God and pray more that God would move. And all of a sudden, he started clowning with him. Your God may be sleeping. Your God may have gone to the bathroom. You know, maybe he's not alive. And just torturing them. 450 prophets. And he said, look, just stop. He said, I'm going to build my altar to my God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he took the stones, 12 stones, representing the 12 tribes of Jacob, of God, 12 stones. Put them there. He dug a trench all the way around. A trench, because there's a difference between the world and God. People, there's a difference. And all of a sudden, he took the wood or represented the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He stacked it all right. And he looked to his God. They came and they poured water, barrels and barrels of water. The water that they were thirsty for kept pouring it over. It kept going to the trench. And he looked to his God and he said, God, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of a sudden, fire came from heaven and destroyed the sacrifice, the bullock that was cut in pieces representing Jesus Christ. Destroyed the whole, I mean, and I say destroyed, just devoured it, sucked it up. And all of a sudden, he said, King, who is God? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of a sudden, he said, take these 450 prophets and kill every one of them. Oh. Let me tell you something. When God moves, we don't know what's going to happen. We need a cleaning up. We have prophets that are going around that are not godly prophets. That are, you might say, part of Baal, if you want to say it that way. We have things that are going on in churches that shouldn't be. We need God to clean up. We need God to clean up pastors, people. We need a move of God. And you know what? Only by the Spirit of God will that happen. We need a move. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. As he looked up, he didn't have to beg Elijah. He didn't have to cut his wrists. He didn't have to fall on the floor and do all kinds of stuff. He just called upon him. It says this in Scripture, call upon me and I will answer thee. And I will show you great and mighty things. That's the Scripture for today. Call upon him and he will answer you. And he will show you great and mighty things. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you for your attentiveness. I know I went over a little few minutes. Thank you, though. He answers prayer, people. That's the kind of God we serve. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? If you have not accepted him and you'd like to do so today, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Amen. As far as I can see, everybody here saved and born again. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray all together, because I know we have people that are watching. They're going to watch throughout the week, and we want to give them a chance to know and to join the family of God. So if you would you please repeat this prayer after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you, lead me, and guide me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mean, look, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you, and we love you. And God is in the business of answering prayer. Keep your faith in him. We love you guys. Andrew, would you come?